Here on the Pastor Study, we've been doing a study entitled The Law of the Harvest. We're going to continue with that study and hopefully finish it up today. But before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity to open up thy very words, Lord, and for the Holy Spirit to be our guide and teacher. Father, we just pray as your words go forth today, they would transform our hearts and our minds, Father. We pray that your words would strengthen the saints of God to continue on for you in this dark and wicked world. And we pray if there's a lost soul that's never trusted the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else, that this would be the very day that they place their faith in Christ and Christ alone to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and to secure them an eternity in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we'll thank you for all that you'll do today, and we ask that you have your will and your way in our study today. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and we give thanks. Amen. Again, as we begin in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, the words of God say, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." This part of our study focuses on the harvest of the hereafter, what the saved will reap at the judgment seat of Christ. We saw last time that every saved person will stand at the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of his life after salvation. Rewards or loss of rewards will be reaped according to what has been sown. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where we have a description of the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 with me, and we'll begin reading in verse 11 down to verse 15. Words of God say this, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Now the people being judged are all saved people, because they're all building on the same foundation, as we see in verse 11, which is Jesus Christ. But there's a great difference in the two types of building material used, as we see in verse 12. There is gold, amen, silver, precious stones, and then there's wood, hay, and stubble. And the building materials vary. First of all, in fire, or value, excuse me, value. Stubble compared to diamonds. And then they're also in, they vary in fire resistance. Wood compared to gold. Every man's work will be seen by everyone else, as it says, made manifest. And as it is tried by fire to see what sort of work it is, as we're told in verse 13. Not only will the work itself be judged, but the motive behind the work, the reason why it was done, will be judged. Some believe the fire used for trying the work will be the Shekinah glory of God, the pillar of fire in the Old Testament which stood for the glory of God. This testing will show what was done for man's glory and what was done for God's glory, whether it was sown to the flesh or to the Spirit. That which was sown to the Spirit are done for God's glory, will stand the test of fire, and will abide, and will reap a reward. See, that which was sown to the flesh, done for man's glory, will be burned, and the reward will be lost. Although the person is saved, he will reap no reward, as we're told in verse 15. That will be his hereafter harvest, for sowing to the flesh. No rewards, no crowns to cast at the feet of Jesus. Notice in the book of Revelation chapter 4 with me, in verses 10 and 11, Revelation 4, verses 10 and 11, what the words of God say. In the four and twenty elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him, that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. We see there in verse 10, and they cast their crowns before the throne. Those who reap no rewards will receive no crowns to throw, to cast at the feet of Jesus Christ. So not only will the work and motive behind the work be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, but the thoughts and the imagination of the heart will be brought into judgment. You see, God looks on the heart. He knows the condition of man's heart and has described the condition as deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 to 10. Man cannot know his heart until God searches the heart and tries it and reveals it. Then God will judge. Give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You see, the heart represents the real person. As Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 tells us, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What is in the well comes up in the bucket is not in the Bible, but it is a true statement, amen. The condition of the heart will be made manifest in deeds and in words. In fact, Jesus described the heart as the treasury. As the treasury. Look in Matthew chapter 12 with me. Matthew chapter 12. And in Matthew chapter 12, we want to look at verse number 35. Matthew 12 with me, verse 35. Jesus said, a good man out of his good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. See? Good treasure, the good treasure is the word of God hidden in the heart. The law of God written there. In divine truth ruling there. Ready to be used on all occasions. See? Those words fitly spoken. Are treasures. What the heart is full of will be manifested by what the person speaks of. Because Jesus said, again in Matthew 12, verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance, that's right, of the heart the mouth speaketh. Now the word abundance pictures an overflowing heart which causes the mouth to speak. God intends for man's heart to overflow into praise for him. Look at Psalm 107 with me. Let's turn there together. Psalm 107. Verse number 2, the words of God said this, Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Verse 15, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verses 31 and 32. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation, the assembly, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. The Lord has blessed us with the ability to speak, and he holds us accountable for what we say. Jesus said, "We will give account for every idle word we speak." Back to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. The words of God say this in Matthew 12, verse 36. Listen closely. "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Now the word idle means vain, empty, barren, ineffective. Now idle words are not necessarily evil words. Evil words are sin. And as sin they will be judged here, as all other sins is judged. Idle words are vain. Yes. They're vain, they're empty, they're barren, they're ineffective. Idle words are not necessary evil words. Amen? As we saw that. But idle words are vain, barren, ineffective works, and will be judged as wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat of Christ. Every idle word that we have spoken will be repeated at the judgment seat of Christ and will be revealed as wasted time and language which brought no glory to God. These idle words, my friend, will reap a hereafter harvest of embarrassment and loss of rewards. So that should be a warning to each and every one of us to beware of what we say. Amen? And that ask the Lord for help to put a guard on your mouth. Amen? And that no idle words will be uttered from your lips. Amen? Because every idle word, Jesus says, will be judged there at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, every saved person has abilities, gifts, and talents for the use in the Lord's work for the here right now. Their use will reap a hereafter harvest of rewards, of lost rewards. Now I want us to turn to Luke chapter 19. And Jesus gives us an illustration of that. In Luke chapter 19, we want to see here, beginning in verse 12, Luke 19, 12. "And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and a return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. So each one of the servants, which represents saved person, is given exactly the same thing. 1 pound. See? 1 pound. So that servant is to be a steward of that 1 pound. Amen? So then, in verse 14, "But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. But it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man gained by trading. So, here the nobleman is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes, he returns, and he asks his servants, the servants, to give an account. In other words, what have you done with that 1 pound that I gave you? Which represents or pictures each saved person's ability or gift or talent that the Lord has given us to work, to occupy till he returns. See? So each and every one of us, here we are at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account. What have you done with what I have given you? The ability or talents or gifts, Christ is going to ask. So we see, we pick up. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. So we see the first servant comes, and he says, he shows him, you gave me one, I made 10. See? So this servant really occupied, did business for God while he went away. You know, a lot of Christians are sleepy-headed Christians. They figure the Lord's return is some way off. You know, down there in the future. So I get time to play around and use my talents and abilities that God given me for my own gains, to bring glory to me and not to God, to make money for me. Amen. But here we see this faithful servant. And notice, in verse 17, what the Lord says to the servant, and he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful and very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. See, at the millennium, the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, we're going to rule and reign with him. And the inference I'm getting here is some of us are going to rule, as this servant was given authority over 10 cities, and some are not going to rule and reign with him. They're going to be, I guess, with their hands, sitting on their hands, sitting on the sidelines, because they've reaped what they've sowed. They haven't used the talents that God has given them in the abilities to bring honor and glory to God. See? And then we have the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. So here comes the second servant. Okay, so he hasn't gained as many pounds as the first servant, but he's gained 5. Amen. In other words, he's used what God has given him, the ability and talents, and he used it for the Lord, to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Now let's see. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. So he's given him authority over 5 cities based upon what he has gained for his master. And of course, we're saying the Lord Jesus Christ is the master, and these servants of Christians saved and standing at the judgment seat of Christ. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound which I have laid up in a napkin. Uh-oh. So this servant here took the pound, did absolutely nothing with it. Laid it in a napkin. Didn't use it at all, didn't gain anything, for the Lord. You know, maybe this could represent to those Christians, all they do is get saved. They don't grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They don't mature as a saint of God. They're just saved. Not really a disciple of Jesus Christ, because they never took up their cross. They died in the south, denied themselves, took up Christ's cross, and followed him. They're just saved. So they did absolutely nothing with the abilities and talents and gifts that God had given them. And he says, the excuse is this. This is the excuse he gives. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. That's why he was afraid. What an attitude. He says, because you take up what, in other words, you're reaping and you didn't sow. So why should I, you know, bother trying to gain anything for you? I would be putting in all the effort. Wow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. See? Calls him a wicked servant. And his own, the servant's own words have judged him. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping what I did not sow. Wherefore thou gavest not thou money into the bank. He said, you could have at least, these other men traded. Obviously, they used a lot of effort. They used the gifts and talents and ability that the Lord had given them to gain, to have visible results for the Lord, to show to the Lord at his return, at the judgment seat of Christ. And the Lord is telling this servant, you could have at least put it in the bank. See? Wherefore, in verse 23, wherefore thou gavest not thou money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury, which is interest. He said, the least you could have done is taken that 1 pound, put it in the bank, and it would have accumulated interest. So when I came back, at least I'd have interest. But you didn't even do that. Didn't even make the minimal effort. See? Verse 24, and he said unto them that stood by, take from him that the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. So what ends up happening? He takes the 1 pound from this wicked servant. Okay. He takes the 1 pound and gives it to the person that has 10. And those around are saying, wait a minute, he already has 10. Doesn't matter. Because the Lord realizes that the man that made 10 really meant business for him, that he could trust him. You know, really exerted himself, really used the talents and an ability that the Lord had given him. Had something of substance to show at the judgment seat of Christ. So, he gets the reward that this other wicked servant didn't get. But the thing we want to see is that the wicked servant wasn't destroyed, wasn't cast into hell. See? And that's what's going to be, the person that hasn't occupied till the Lord comes, amen, has nothing to show at the judgment seat of Christ, amen, he's going to be tried by fire, but he's still going to be saved. He's not going to lose his salvation, amen. He was just disobedient to God. He didn't do didn't use the talents and the ability that the Lord had given him. Amen? And as a result, at the judgment seat or the hereafter harvest, he reaped no rewards, absolutely nothing. While the other servants that were faithful did. Amen. See, this is all for our learning and admonition. See? Jesus used this illustration to tell how he will reward his servants, whether faithful or lazy, when he comes again. See? You need to ask yourself, what kind of servant are you? Are you faithful or are you lazy? Amen. What are you doing for the Lord? What are you doing for Christ? Not what are you doing for yourself? Because what you do for the Lord in this life is the only thing that lasts. You can gain all the money in the world. You can have a lot of money, a huge retirement account. But that's all going to be rust and cankered and turned to dust. But what you and I do for Christ in this life is the only thing that will last. I like what he says here in Luke 19:13. Occupy till I come. Do business. Be busy. Work. For the night cometh, and it'll be too late. Some of God's most faithful servants may be paupers down here, may not have material wealth now, amen, might not have a nice house or car or a big bank account or a beautiful family, but because they'll occupy till the Lord comes and use what the Lord has given them and use it for his honor and his glory, amen, those paupers will be rulers hereafter. They will have sowed faithfully a few things, but they will reap abundantly many things. You see, a wicked, slothful servant who backslides on God, laid up their pounds, and of no service to the Lord, will suffer loss of rewards. Their wrong sowing will reap a hereafter harvest of sorrow over their loss. The backslider pays for his sin both here and hereafter. Again, I can't emphasize enough. The words of God are just not nice words and, you know, so forth and so on, nice sayings and so forth and so on. These are God's very words to live by. Amen. And we need to take serious, again, what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived. You know, don't think it's not going to happen. Don't think what God has written down here isn't true, because it is. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Again, be not deceived. This is God's law of the harvest. Well, we've just about run out of time. I'll pray you join me next time on the Pastor's Study. This is Brother Gino Castieri. Until we meet again, may God richly bless you, is my prayer, and good day.